isn't it? That's what my wife says all the time.
Aww,
stop. Hi, Penny.
Hello.
How are you?
I am very cum drunk right now,
cum
to
drunk.
Be quite honest.
We actually just finished up doing a shoot. Glasses off. We just finished up doing a shoot for Hog Tide.
Yep.
And you were awesome enough to say, all right, I'll come sit down and hang out with you for a little while.
Of course. I mean, why not?
Exactly. See, why not? So we kind of just wing it. This is still new, so we don't talk about anything specific. We just kind of chit-chat.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aliens. Are you going to talk about aliens? Talk about aliens.
We could talk about anything right now. I'm up here in the club.
You're like,
club.
Whatever it is, I'll just talk. what did I want to ask you? I want to talk about. And if anything you don't want to talk about, just say I don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. your music, because I don't think, because here's the thing. I think that me personally, even when I look at you and I know you, I'm like, she's just so sweet and she's so innocent. And not to say that you're not, but then the thing that probably a lot of people don't know is like, you're like a big metalhead.
I do like metal. I do. It's fun. And it's really good when you're working out, especially.
It's motivating.
For sure. I don't think I would lift as much as like I do if it wasn't for the metal.
There was a guy that I used to work out at the Kink Gym upstairs, and there was a male performer. I can't think of his name now, but he was super pretty, and he was built like a brick shit house, big dude. And you could hear his little pods. You could hear his,
yeah,
and it's like, fucking the. And I listened to metal, but his shit was on point. But then he would like get down and do this lift that was like a. I think it's not the deadlift. It's the when you get in the like the squat and you're bent over, but then you're bringing it up to you when you're working out.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
And he was doing that with 2 plates or 3 plates on each. So there's 45 pounds per plate.
Oof.
And plus then there's the 45 pound bar, and he just like it was nothing. I was like
pumping it out. Yeah. Wow.
And I was like, maybe my metal's not hard enough to lift that way.
I mean, you can always go heavier.
It's true. Do you have a favorite band?
Ooh, that's so hard. Okay. Well, the band that really, really got me into metal, like transitioned me into it, was Killswitch Engage, which I think will always be like my go-to favorite.
Right.
But since I've started to listen to it, I've discovered a lot more. So there's a lot. Well, I have to give a shout out to my friend's band.
Okay.
Discarnate is really good.
And where are they from?
They're from the UK.
Okay.
And it's just like heavy and like the lyrics are dark, but like very meaningful. And I don't know. Not only are they like super nice guys, but the music is good. And
right.
I can really appreciate that. So, who else? I'm like drawing a blank.
Now let me ask you about your boys.
Uh-huh.
And it's Discarnate?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they like, for people that are into metal, I'm sure I'm going to leave out a genre and they're going to get pissed because it's not just metal. There's like, there's the thrash and then there's the black metal and the, so where do they fall?
I could be wrong, but I would say death metal, but I could be totally wrong. I don't
know
if I know the right.
Is it the growl or the high-pitched screech?
Well, here's the thing. There's two guys, and there's three guys in the whole band, and, the one who's on guitar, he sings, but he's got the growly voice. And then the guy who's on the bass does the high-pitched voice.
No, so does he do the high-pitched black metal or like the high-pitched, like he's like a pop singer?
It's like, wow, wow,
okay.
Yeah.
Like the black metal kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a good combination because I feel like you get a little bit of both. And like, I don't know, some of their riffs are just like, it's really, it just gets in your brain. And
right.
like... It just sounds so good, and I'm a real sucker for just the sound of like what a guitar makes. Like it just, I don't know, it's like it's singing or something.
When I was in a band, we used to refer to it as chugga chugga
because
it's that jing jing jing.
Yeah,
that sound. I'm just like yes.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah,
I turn into Beavis and Butthead at the same time. I'm just like do it.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, you should totally check it out if you're into that kind of thing. And
do it.
Yeah. It's good
stuff. so let's talk about a little bit of porn because we can't do porn podcasts without talking about a little bit of
totally.
Porn. I'm going to ask the super, super question that you're going to be like, really, JP, this is what you're going to ask me? Mm-hmm. What's your favorite position? Not on camera, just when you were like, I want to fuck, and I'm in, no one's around, and it's just the Sunday morning special. What would it be?
I would say cowgirl, because that's like the easiest way for me to come, if I can just like be in control, and obviously there's a Hitachi there, so.
Right.
Because it's me. But, yeah, I just like, I like a cowgirl because I can just fucking go to town on it. And then I'm all like cum drunk. I'm like, yeah, you can do whatever now. Whatever you want.
Now, when the cameras aren't on, because there's a lot of people who obviously think that, you know, you girls cum nonstop all the time, blah, 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 blah. And we know how it's, we've discussed it on the podcast before, how mm-hmm. there's not a lot of orgasms in regular vanilla porn. There's enjoyment.
Yes.
But there's not like these power orgasms because as soon as you get there, they're like switch positions or mm-hmm. hold on for stills.
It does happen very often. Like, I almost feel like it's a little inside joke between the crew when they're like, oh, she's getting close. Oh, cut, we've got to do this. I'm like,
son of a bitch.
You knew I was about to come, didn't you?
So when you're off camera and you're just doing it yourself, and obviously this is, and we know this, well, I assume this about the boys because I've never asked one of the boys. I've got to get a guy on here because I want to do boys and girls. I want to do everybody.
Uh-huh. Me too. I want to do everybody.
We should start our own podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to do the industry. But like when you don't have to hold it and you can do it your way, how fast does it usually take you to get what you need?
Well, it depends. Do I have a Hitachi or am I just working with what I've got?
You've got the Hitachi and a cock that's not going to come until you tell it.
I mean, probably less than 30 seconds. Like, if I really put my mind to it, I can get off, like, super quick. But, you know, it's taken years and years of training. And
I wish I could say that. It's taken years and years of practice not to do that, and yet it's still. I always, because I'm like, it's weird because the girls can, as you know, the girls like, oh, look, I made her come, it's so hot. If a girl's like, oh, you're done. Like, and obviously it's because girls can keep going where guys can't.
Yeah.
But it's always been this weird thing to me that it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's like an accomplishment. I made her come, but when she does it, it's like.
I mean, I would say opposite, because if I can make somebody come, I'm happy. Like, when I first started having sex, like, I never had orgasms. So I just thought sex was, like, felt good, but, like, that was it. And, right. like, I really kind of got into the mindset of, like, oh, I just want to, like, please the other person. Because, like, I either can't come or, like, maybe I'm experiencing an orgasm. It's not what everybody says it is.
It's not as big as I thought.
Yeah, I just thought, like, all right, this is it, and it's whatever. And I settled for that. And, so I just got into, like, getting other people off. Right. And so, where was I going with this? Totally lost my train of thought.
About how fast the other person was.
Oh, yeah. So if I can get somebody off real quick, and I'm like, fuck yeah, I did it.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I feel, because I feel like, and this is, again, something we talk about a lot, is this, the ego, specifically, unfortunately, then people talk about it. And I'm not one who buys into the, oh, what's this male? It kind of is. When it comes to men, there's this ego gets in the way, and it has to be about what notch I can put in my belt, and I own that pussy, or whatever this bullshit is. Mm-hmm. But instead of doing that and going, and I think it comes with age, too. You get a little older and you start. But, I mean, you get to a point where you're like, I want her to have the best experience. And if I'm jerking off while I'm making her scream, mm-hmm. that's just as good as being inside a pussy.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'm like, if I can get the person off, like, that's cool. Sorry, let me if I can put this on silent. Somebody's blowing on my phone. If I can, like, okay, do not disturb, right? That should do it. If they come, like, first or whatever, and, like, as long as they're willing to, like, you know, I'll happily just sit on your face or whatever and, like, get myself off. Right. And you can just chill. But I totally get it if you're, like, just want to relax, too. I'm, like, just happy you're happy.
Right. And I think that's a big thing, too, is a lot of people miss is it's not... When you do sex, I feel like when you do sex, like, when you go to work, when you're having sex with someone, I feel like if you put everything you have into pleasing them, 90% of the time, I feel like it's reciprocated. It's like, fuck, they just did everything they could to do this to me.
Totally.
And if you go, and if that person goes into, if everyone went into having sex with someone with the, I'm going to do everything for them and not worry about me, I think there'd be a lot better sex.
Hell yeah, there would be. I know. It's sad story. I feel bad for these people, honestly.
It's so bad for them. Let's see. Do you have a fantasy that you could talk about? Something that's that we can talk about that's not too terrible?
Yeah, what's...
That you have, like, a bucket list fantasy?
What are the graphic rules for YouTube and stuff?
I don't know. I think as long as we keep our clothes on.
Oh, okay.
And we're not, like, over the top graphically using words and being... If we're not, like, penthouse letters that used to come in and, you know, doing things like that.
Very explicit. Let me think. Gosh, I mean, so many of my fantasies have already been fulfilled because before I got into porn, I was always, like... I was a little bit of a slut. So there would be, like, a few different guys that I was working with that I was all banging. And I would just always think, like, God, it'd be great if they could all just band together and bang me all at the same time, you know? Like, that would be fun. And, like, one would be down, but then, you know, the others, and they're like, oh, I don't know about being around other dudes. So when I finally came to porn, and through, actually, the help of kink.com, I got to experience my first gangbang, and I mean, I don't know. I'm like, how do you top that? And then I got to do a few more with Kate, actually.
Right.
And that was, like, my main thing. It's like, I just wanted to just be, like, I don't know, just, like, pummeled with cocks and just,
right.
I don't know, overwhelmed with the dicks and just, like, all the guys, like, grabbing at you. And it's such a great experience in porn because I really feel like the guys are really like, all right, I gotta fight for my, get in there, I wanna fuck you. And like, they gotta fight for it. So you just feel super hot and desirable. And, you know, I mean, I know it's all like, it's a group effort and everything, but it was just so satisfying to actually have the fantasy come true and be like super safe. Everyone's tested and professional.
It's in a very controlled environment.
Totally.
And that's the thing I think a lot of people miss too within our industry, excuse me, is that there's this you're whores and you've got daddy issues and you've got, and not to, I mean, they're there, everybody, in any industry, it's going to be there. Yeah, there's going to be something. And, but there's like, you know, the female exploitation, and it's like so many people, they forget that they're paying and buying a fantasy with actors who are paid to do things. And there's either the people that are like, you filthy whore, I can't believe you're doing this, and you're most being an embarrassment to your family. Or there's the Captain Save-A-Ho who wants to come in and be like, you never have to do this ever again.
Oh, like, yes.
There's constant, and I see it because social media, when they do, they don't realize, or the people, I don't know if they don't realize, they don't care or whatever. But they reply or retweet or whatever it is. They respond to everyone that's tagged in the thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've got to hear this crap, or I've got to see. And a lot of, a lot of it's really positive, and there's a lot of good stuff. But there's always the, this makes me sick. And I'm like, what? Just don't watch it.
I know. It's so easy to just, like, move on past it and, like, or mute it or block it or whatever. Like, there's plenty of options to not have to do it. And I actually encountered this recently because I was super excited about a show that I like watching. And I watched it live on TV like everyone else in the country. I guess I'm really selfish because I didn't think about the rest of the world. And I was tweeting about it saying, like, wow, I can't believe this happened and that happened. And yes, some people were like, oh, yeah, it's crazy. But then there was other people who were like, wow, that was really selfish. It doesn't come on in Norway for 3 more days and you just spoiled everything. You should have given a spoiler alert. And I'm like, well, if you're trying to not find something out, like for me, if there's like, whatever, the results of a hockey game or something, like, I'm going to stay off social media consciously because I know I'm going to be spoiled if I go on there. And that's what I said. I was like, just take a day off social media if you want it. And they got more offended. They're like, wow, that's so pretentious of you to just, like, say people to get off social media. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I know. I was like, I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop. Yeah. I can't.
Those people are so easily triggered now on social media.
It's triggering me.
I know. It's like it's, fuck. And that's the thing, too, is it's like, you know, there's this, like, you mother...
But I'm like, just take a break and go do anything else. Go outside. Like, remember when we didn't do that?
We didn't stare at our phones all the time?
Do you remember those days?
I do. I enjoy those days.
I do, too. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I haven't been on Twitter in 3 days. I should probably go on.
Well, then that's my problem is I'm connected because I'm constantly looking because, like, you know, the things that I'm doing. And I'm constantly trying to build my brand. So, but I also, it's, I saw this thing this morning. He's Russell Brand. Do you know him? And he was talking about the phones and how he was like, have we, as a human race, have we been missing this out of our lives? Because now that we have it, because clearly we were always looking for something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go take a shit. I need a news. I need my entertainment. I can't just sit. And then he starts saying, and now that we have it, instantly everyone's like, I got to pick it up. It's like, I'm sitting here for a second. Let me pick up my phone. Oh, there's a commercial on because I'm watching live TV.
I know.
Let me look at my phone, even though I just looked at it 3.5 minutes ago. And I'm looking at the same 4 or 5. You're not reading any more news. You're looking at the same Twitter and Insta and Snap or whatever the things are. And it's like, you now have to consciously say no and charge it in another room or put it upstairs. It's almost like... As like, I quit smoking a little over 4 years ago, five or something like that, 4 years ago. Thank you.
That's a big accomplishment.
You, if you've ever had to kick a habit, there's, you have to tell yourself constantly, nope. And you have to catch yourself and say, don't do it. I know you haven't had a, you know, you haven't had a trigger for your cigarette, but like, but in that sense, you know, a couple of weeks, but now there's this first time you've done this since you've quit smoking, there's a trigger. So you constantly, but to have to tell yourself to not. Don't touch your phone. Yourself.
It's weird.
It's weird as fuck that we are so addicted to the. Did they like it?
I know.
Or what did Penny Pax post anything new? I haven't seen her talk lately. Or where's the new picture of? Oh, I must have missed it. And this like this obsession with staring, and I'm guilty of it. But
and when you're off of it, people are like, "Is everything okay? Like, you haven't said anything in a few days. Like, what's going on?" I'm like, I just want to take a break sometimes. And the weirdest thing has been happening to me. Like, and I finally looked it up because I was like, why am I getting so nauseous when I look at my phone? And not even for extended periods of time, but finally looked it up. I was like, there's got to be something on the internet about this, you know? Everything's on the internet. And I looked it up, and it's called digital motion sickness. And it's from swiping through things so much, it's making me motion sick. And I'm like, who would have ever fucking thought that that's a thing on your phone? So now what I do is I, thankfully, some of the apps like Instagram and Twitter, they have like a timer that you can set in your settings, and it'll tell me you spent 30 minutes today. And I'm like, all right, I've done, if I've done everything, like I try to get all the work taken care of first before I browse.
Right.
Try. But if I don't get everything done in that half an hour, I'm like, I gotta cut myself off, because otherwise I would, you just get sucked into it for who knows how long.
I'm horrible, but I get the same way. I get this antsy, jumpy feeling. It's anxiety almost. And it's from staring at a fucking screen. And we just, we got a new Nintendo Switch.
Ooh, how's that?
We like it. It's pretty cool. And it's cool because if you get the console, you can play. It's like, it comes with the two controllers, but the controllers pop off.
I've seen it. Yeah, so that's cool.
So you can have it connected to the TV, or you can put the little controllers on and take it as a little play thing.
It's got a little TV, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
And we started playing this game, and my wife and I, and we, I get to a point where I'm just like, nope, I gotta go. And like, it hits me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, I gotta stop right now. And it's the same thing.
Really?
And it's because, but I also figured this out years ago. I was sitting a little closer to the TV than I do now, because you know, you don't need to have that, your entire vision that the TV takes up. And I was playing a first person game, and I started fucking shaking. I'm like, something's wrong. And I was a still smoker, so I went outside to smoke. And I'm fucking just trembling.
Crazy.
A couple days go by. I went to the bed. And I was like, "Fuck, something's not right." And I drank a beer, because that was my solution: smoke a cigarette, and drink a beer. And it finally shook off and went away. And no pun intended. And I was telling one of my buddies at the bar about it a couple days later, and he was like, "Oh, that's a something something seizure."
Oh.
I was like, "What?" And he was like, "It's a type of seizure. It's a super mild seizure, and it comes from playing." He was, and I told him I was playing this first person game, and he was like, "Oh, that game." He was like, "Dude, just keep playing it. You'll get used to it."
Whoa.
No.
You'll get used to it?
Yeah, he said your body, your brain eventually will reprogram itself to get used to that super rapid movement. Because it's beyond reality. We just got a new TV about, 6 months ago. And we were in there, and there's like, you know, here's the entry level, and then this, and then this, and then this. You get to a point where it's like, all right, am I really about to spend this much money for this one? And as we're talking to the guy, and he's showing us the wall of TVs and talking about it, behind him is an 8K TV.
Oh my God.
And it's beyond what we see and touch, and so it's so hyper realistic, and everything was crisp, like as you we our mm-hmm. eyes are lenses.
Whoa.
And the shit was moving behind him, and I finally was like, we gotta move. And I got that itchy feeling, really? Like I can't stand here, because it was so fucking HD that my brain was like, get the fuck out of here with it.
Also, like, do we really need that much HD? Like, I don't want to see that much.
Especially in our industry.
I know. I'm like, please don't. 4K is more than enough.
I have sat at my computer, because we shoot at 4K and then it gets compressed down to 1080 for kink.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, unless you're plugged in and everyone's on like this hyper speed that none of us are even allowed or can afford, mm-hmm. you're never going to get the full 4K quality on the internet. No. You can download it, but...
Do computers even play 4K? Is that even a thing?
They'll play
I know there's
it.
4K TVs, but...
I don't know that you get the same...
Is there 4K, like, laptops? I don't think that's a thing.
I don't know that it... I don't think that it looks well.
Right.
Or could, or whatever.
So it seems like a little silly.
The 4K, like, we took forever. I think we were... me and my crew were the first ones, I think, to start shooting 4K.
Oh, really?
And we sent a couple of them back, and we delivered them, you know, edited in 4K, and they were like, wait, like, because, yeah, they're huge.
Huge file.
And they were like, no. And I was like, but I called you guys and talked to you, and you sent me, like, the settings and all of this thing for 4K. They're like, we thought you were just asking for you. We didn't think, no, we don't want it delivered. We love that you're shooting in 4K. And then, you know, when the time comes, they can push a switch and all of our stuff can show up as 4K, apparently, or whatever.
Oh, that's nice.
But, and it does look better. Because if you take 4K and you take this beautiful big thing and then shrink it down, it still looks better than the average 1080.
Absolutely, yeah. So.
But it's the girls are like, fuck, I can't believe I missed that one hair. Or I can't believe there's... Like, you now have to go in and do certain things in post to basically take it back to not be so crystal clear, because...
I know.
At the end of the day, we're all real humans, and we all have real flaws, and...
Totally. I'm so thankful for there's a few companies that'll put, like, a kind of a dreamy filter on it. I'm like, yes, make me look softer.
Smooth me out.
There's too many lines that I didn't know I had.
That's the thing, too. Yeah, you get it, and you're like, fuck.
Whoa, that's what I look like?
Thanks, everybody, for telling me.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, hopefully, can we just stay with 4K for a little bit, like...
I think we will. I hope we will. I mean, most computers can't handle it as it is, and I think the next step is beyond. I don't even know that. I mean, there's the Ultra. I think the Ultra HD is 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, I don't know.
Close, right?
It's weird, because the 1080 was on the bottom end, so it was like the 19-something by 1080, right? I think that's the way it went. So it was the smaller number, which is the HD. But 4K is now the top number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird, because if you look at it and you're like, well, it was 19, I think it's 1930 something or whatever. So I know somebody's like, JP.
That's wrong.
And then it's 1080 by 1080, which was, like I said, the smaller number of the ratio. But on the 4K represents, if I'm not mistaken, the larger number of the ratio. So it didn't climb that much, but it's still enough to where it's like, it's too much.
Yeah, it's very clear. Too clear.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
So, let's talk about, because I don't know that people, and if you don't want to disclose this, you don't have to. You have a certain thing that you enjoy that most people would not understand at all. That has to do with Little Mouse and Castle. I don't know. Do a lot of your fans know this?
Yes, absolutely. I think. It's no secret, and I'll be there with the mouse in the castle in 4 to 5 days.
How often? We're talking about, if you haven't figured it out, it's a thing that's been around for a while.
Well, I'm going to the world in 5 days, but I'm actually going to Disneyland tomorrow for the Halloween party, so I'm really excited for that.
How often are you there per year, do you think, if you had to guess?
Ooh.
An either or place.
That'd be really hard, because there was at one point where Adrienne and I were going at like twice a week, because it was just so dead and like just, it's so fun. I don't know. It's like, it's very nostalgic, and I just have so many happy memories of being at Disney when I was younger. Right. And it's just, I don't know, it's magical. And
that's what they say.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like they're they've totally brainwashed me. So I'm
well, I mean, I know a lot of people are that way. A lot of people, like, that's their jam. And, like, you sit there and say, hey, JP, we're going to go to this place. It's going to be fucking crowded as hell. You're going to have to do, if anything you want to do for fun, and even get a beer, you're going to have to wait in a fucking line. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to upgrade you and sell you something that can says you can jump a line, but that only cuts out the first hour. You still got a 30 to 45 minute wait. Do you want to go? I will look at you and say, I would rather get on my knees and slam my dick in the toilet seat. I just, but the thought, like, I, once I'm there and I, like, with my kid and you see the people having fun, it's just, I don't like crowds. I don't like lines. Oh, I don't like rides.
I don't really either like the crowds. But it's the whole experience. It's definitely, like, I don't know. It's a thing. But, I mean, I will say, I'm definitely, like, okay, I went there for New Year's last year, and it was just, it was so packed. Like, at one point, we were trying to make it over to the castle for the countdown, and we couldn't even make it over there because it was, like, just neck. And that was, like, a little uncomfortable for me. Not my favorite memory there. But for the most part, I don't know. And I like socializing with other people because most of them are also Disney fans and they, whatever, like, I'll have, like, some kind of Disney merchandise on and they might be like, oh, where did you get that? Or something. And
so it's like a camaraderie. Just like
to nerd out with them. Yeah, totally.
And I've noticed there's people who are either that's their jam and they will fucking die that way, being like the hardcore, yeah. Fuck you, judge me all you want. This is my jam. And then there's the people who are like, I don't care. There's no in between where like, I'll go, I like to go two or three times. There's none of that. That's either I don't care or they're the extreme. Mm-hmm. And it's, let me ask you this. Is it the park? Is it the movies? Is it the overall? Is it everything included? Is it the character? Like, what is it that makes you go, that's what I like to do? Because here's the thing. I've also heard that to do the park thing, it's better to do, like, a weekend jam. And because then you want to be, like, a season pass person or, like, whatever.
Sure.
So if you show up and it is that, I don't want to be here right now, you can leave, go hang out at the hotel, and then sneak back in later that night or go absolutely. Back the next day.
Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of perks of being in the hotel, too. Like, you get to get in earlier before everyone else, and there's usually a dope pool. Like, I don't know
wait
if
a minute,
I could...
A dope pool or an adult pool?
Dope. Adult
oh,
pool.
I was like, Disney has an adult pool? Now I'll go.
Right? No kids allowed. No, I don't know if I can really pinpoint exactly what it is. Like, I mean, I visually, like, looking at the decorations and how they have every, like set up and the details, like, that to me is very visually, like, appealing. Definitely a the movies, hearing the music from the movies, and then in parts of Disneyland and Disney World, they have 40s music playing, which I guess Walt Disney was like a big fan of, and I'm also a huge fan of 40s, so whenever I hear that, it just, I don't know, it just puts me in a really like happy like mood. I don't know if I can put my finger on it besides that they've brainwashed me. I really don't know. Because it's so much...
I don't know if it's brainwashed, though. I think it's the thing because there's so many people, and I don't know that it's brainwashed. That it's, I think it's... There is the nostalgia. There's the happiness. Mm-hmm. There's the... Like, there was that one moment somewhere that something stuck, and that's forever going to be... And it's the cool thing, I think, too, is that you hear so many people like, oh, I wish I could go back to being a teenager. Here's the thing. We can never go back, because if you were to take everything you know right now and go back to your 15-year-old self, it's not going to be the same. Nothing. It's not.
Oh, my God.
But, and you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But Disney is. That totally. Park's always going to be there. You can always go watch the little deer or the princess or whatever the character is, because they at some point will re-release if it's not released. And they also are smart about how they do that stuff.
Oh my God,
but I feel like that's the reason if they, that's the thing that takes, that's as close as you're ever going to get to going back in time because it's still there.
You're so right.
That might be what it is.
I think I just had an epiphany about that. Wow.
See? I'm smart that sometimes.
Now, you're smart all the time.
Thanks.
But that really does make sense now because I all I have is like really happy memories from there as being a kid. And I was really lucky that my mom took me to Disney World a bunch and Disneyland even when we lived here in California. And And it was just always such a good time. And I like the rides and the, you know, the music, the atmosphere. It's meeting the characters. Like, I don't know why. I know,
the characters obviously were fun for me. Yeah. And I was like, I'm like, we finally got over to the park because it was, we went with a big group of family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody wanted to go here. And then they would go here and go here and go here. Oh, and I'm like, at the time, I think he was like 3. And I'm like, he'll ride these things, but mm-hmm. this isn't his jam. He wants to. And I kept asking my wife, I'm like, where are the fucking characters? That's what he needs to see. And we finally got over and we got this great picture of him running full speed towards Goofy, just as hard as he can. Goofy. And I snapped as fast as I could. So you see the arms and then mm-hmm. you see him like bent over holding him.
Oh my God.
And that was his jam. And he, on his own, has started like, hey, can we go do that again? Yay. So that happiness and seeing it in his eye, I'm like, I'll suck it up and I'll deal with
it's
Disney.
Contagious.
And also I found out that when I went years ago that one of our friends of mine back in California, she was like, JP, because you know when I usually don't have a hat on, I try and pomp my hair up and I try and make it look nice.
Oh.
And she was like, JP, you know there's an Instagram account called Dilfs of Disney.
Oh yeah, there
and
is.
And I was like,
I know all about it.
Look at you.
I know all about it. I might have snapped a few photos before.
So yeah, I was like, and I, silly to myself, I'm like, maybe I could be a Dilf of Disney. But then I was like,
totally.
I don't think I don't know the criteria. I think that the ones that I've seen.
Gotta be
on
a hot dad. That's basically it. And be at Disney.
Well, yeah, I've been once, and I'm like, I have my middle of the road dad thing going on. I don't know, the ones I've seen, the guys are really pretty, and I think I'm a little more rough around the edges than the, who knows.
Nah,
you know, here's the thing.
You're in.
I joke when I'm self-deprecating, but at the end of the day, like I joke, and then I tell people, I was like, but you know what? I'm almost a 50-year-old man, and I still have super hot-ass young women who are like, JP, I need you to do things to me. So I'm like, you know, I don't care if I'm a Dilf of Disney or not. So whatever. Okay.
Yes, you're winning either way.
Exactly.
But in my personal opinion, I say you're qualified.
All right.
Yes, you're
I'm
going
to have to fix the hair
I'll
and go back.
I'll have to catch you one time at Disney and be like, there you go.
That's what I should do when next time we go, because it's going to happen probably sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do the weekend thing because having an 8-year-old, you so suddenly fun. Are like, oh, it's meltdown and we're done and we have to leave, but then we'll go back later. So,
are you going to stay on the property?
Probably stay on
okay.
property.
Stay at the Disneyland Hotel mm-hmm. or the Grand California is really nice, but it's a little more expensive for I don't feel like that much of an upgrade.
Right.
But the Disneyland Hotel has an amazing pool with a monorail slide and a really cool tiki bar with adult beverages. But the pool is dope, and it's totally a thing to do. Like, if the park's like sucks, whatever, go and just chill at the pool for whatever, or go to the room too. But like, the pool is really nice, and there's no one there during the day. So you basically have like this giant pool to yourself and the slides.
We'll have to call and let you guys know when we're coming because we've got.
Let me plan your trip for you.
Or we can just meet up and hang out.
Yes, I'm always down to go to Disney.
She's, Becky's got a cousin. Who lives in Southern California. I forget exactly where, or I'm not going to say where. But it's in Southern California, and she is the Disney person. Her family, her husband, like, that's their... I think they... Yes, I was gonna make sure I said this right. She was actually married in the Rose Garden at Disney.
Oh, my God. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. So she, like, they're Disney people.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
And that's the thing. That they've got two kids that are around my kid's age, so mm-hmm. we're going to... hit them up so it could be like a thing, but then we can call mm-hmm. them you and Adriana. Like,
totally.
Hey, let's make it a thing.
Yeah, we'll be your tour guides.
Love it.
We know how to do the park most efficiently.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I'm like this map and it's upside down.
Oh my God.
And I'm usually really good with directions, but then I'm looking around like, what the fuck?
It is a little disorienting. There's so much going on too. And
I feel like maybe, and I've never went in and had adult beverages. I feel like that would... Because, again, there's a fucking line. So I'm like, I'm not going to stand in line mm-hmm. for 30 minutes for a fucking Coors Light.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge me.
Definitely. No, I feel you. Well, the good thing about California Adventure is that they always have adult beverages. So you can always get those. Disneyland, I don't think they have any alcohol in the park. But California Adventure totally does. And you can have as many drinks as you like. It's very nice. Yeah. Maybe. It would help. I usually don't drink too much, but every once in a while when they have like, because they have all these like cool cocktails that they make that are like the Pixar colors or whatever, like
right.
they're fantastic. So you have to try it. They're good. I like it.
Going back to the, you were talking about the 40s music earlier. Mm-hmm. Is that 40s? Is because I know the 20s was like the big band swing. Is that 40s still too?
Totally. Yeah, like Glenn Miller and, oh, fuck.
Oh, I can't think of any other. Now that you've been put on point.
You're like, I know.
But that's, yeah, it's more like the swing big band.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know. There's something about it. It just like sounds like romancy. And I mean, not all of it, but some of the like more slower paced ones. Right. And then there's some that are like really fucking weird. Like there's this one song. It's okay. I didn't know. I had to look it up. But it's the actual words are the old master painter who lived down the hill or something like that. And when he's singing it, it's sounds so, I'm like, come on, they were up to something. Like, why would they pick that choice of words? Right. And it's like, it's, I'm like, come on.
Dude, well, the thing is there's always been, and they still are, that people throw in things and say things, and they don't have to say fuck or any other things. I don't have to go into, like, the, you know, the terminology. But they still do it, and it's horrible because I love all kinds of music, and my kid right now is a huge, he's learning new hip-hop.
Oh.
Pop hip hop, if you would. Post Malone.
Oh, okay.
So, and that guy's cool. He's a young, I act like I know him. I don't know him. But he's a younger guy. I've seen interviews with him. And I didn't want to like him because he's, you know, I'm like, silly little kid.
On his face, like,
and I didn't care for any of this newer stuff. And I've been trying because I am such a hip hop fan since I was probably 9 or 10 years old. Like,
really?
Old. Like,
Slick Rick and.
Before that. Like, fucking, like, I was, like, listening to, like, Break In. And, like, I was, like, that was all about those movies in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And, like, fucking.
Oh, my God.
Way back. So I've been listening to it for a long time. And as a kid, you don't know what certain words mean or certain terms mean.
Right.
But in hip-hop, there seems to be a little more innuendos. Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere. But in hip-hop especially. So I hear certain music. And we always had the clean version on.
Uh-huh.
Because he hears enough bad words from me, I don't need to hear it from music. And Slip on the Schoolyard. And like, something, shit, fuck. And
I'm
like,
oh, fuck.
So, but anyway, the things, like, and I didn't know this until, like, I heard the song once I got older, but there's an Eagles song, Hotel California.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line that, I couldn't make it and she was too drunk to care or too tired to care. Back in the 60s and 70s, they didn't call it coming. They called it making it. And I didn't put it together because my parents, I would overhear them say, and I was like, what are they making? What are they what do they mean they're going to make? What is making it? And
weird.
It never, and then when I, years later, as I got, you know, became an adult, and I, because, you know, you're kids, you don't pay attention.
Totally.
Well, you do, but it doesn't make sense. So you're like, whatever, that my parents are dumb. And then when I heard that song, I was listening to the words and kind of getting into that, that song, and I heard was something, I think it's too drunk to make it, and she's too tired to care. And I'm like, we all know that. It's Whiskey
Dick.
Totally,
yeah.
And I was like, holy
fuck.
Wow,
we've never caught that before.
So there's all of these songs that have these little, like, just throw it in there real quick and hope that they can get away with it.
Very clever. I know. There's, I can't think of what it is now, but there was something, another song that I heard recently, and I was like, what? That's what he's been saying this whole time?
And even from, like, the 50s, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I don't know about the 40s, but like the 50s and 60s, like with doo-wop kind of stuff, there's a lot of stuff that gets slid in there.
Oh, yeah, there's this one song. It's like, it just sounds so like Dom Sub. Like, it's a 40s song, and it's like, oh, fuck. I think it's called like Button Up Your Overcoat or something like that. Like, it sounds harmless, but then when you listen to it, he's like, take good care of yourself because you belong to me. And like all these things, and I'm like, whoa, this sounds a little like possessive and stuff. And he's like, he's just rattling off all the things, like, make sure you eat an apple and don't hang out with these types of guys and like all these things. And I'm like, wow, he's really putting it out there. Like, you don't fucking do anything until I say you can do it. And I'm like, wow, it is hot. It's so
hot.
But I'm like, I never figured that out until I listened to it. And I was like, oh, this is a little kinky.
There's There's a lot of songs that kind of, again, slide stuff in like that. There was that controversy that was over the Christmas song a year or two ago.
Which one?
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh, yeah. It's so rapey, right?
And it's and that's the thing, but it's like, it's everyone took it that way, but if you really sit there and listen to it, because he was like, you know, she says, I need to go, and he's like, but it's cold outside. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, it sounds like he's, and people took it to an extreme because that's where
she literally says the answer is no.
But she
says no.
I know. And he keeps trying. But here's but the funny part is like he it's such a flirty, cute song. Because she's like, you know, but maybe I should go, and he's like, and it's like one of those
it's like
when everyone's naked and everything's going on and you're like, well, if you don't wanna, you don't have to.
Uh-huh.
It's, we all know where it's going.
Totally.
For someone to take something that seemed so innocent and,
yeah,
and it could have been a lot worse.
I'm twisting it.
And then people just, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Have you ever seen the Key and Peele skit about that?
No.
There's a whole skit. You've got to look it up. Key and Peele, they do, like, little, like, skit comedy.
Right.
And it's about that song. And it's these two dudes, but they're, one's dressed like a woman and one's dressed like a man. And it's just hilarious because she's like, oh, I'm going to leave. And he's like, no, you're not. And he's like,
it's
cold
outside.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I'll have to
look
that up.
These two black dudes. They're hilarious.
There was a song. It's by Louis Armstrong, and it's called Black and Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard the song?
Mm-hmm.
Have you paid attention to what he's talking about?
No, but now I'm wondering.
The lines in the song actually says, I'm white on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Black and Blue, he's talking about being a black man in his generation, which obviously there was not equality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to get deep into, you know, civil rights right now, because that's a whole other podcast. But he was like, he basically was talking about the oppression that he was going through.
Wow.
And how he was, blue wasn't the color, he was blue because he was sad.
Yeah.
So he's black and sad because of the way he was treated, and he actually says, I'm white on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all I want is to be treated fairly and treat me like you guys.
Anyone
don't
else?
Be mean to me because I'm not, I'm on the inside.
Well,
I am.
The same.
But
yeah,
the term that I'm white on the inside, like, it's the first time I heard that song, and I was like, wait a minute. And I sat and I kept listening to it over and over, and it's a sign of the times. It's a thing that what was going on then, but it's the same thing until you listen to it and go
there's
listen
a
to
message.
It and say,
yeah,
it's there. And there's so there's music is usually, unless it's, because there's some that's just, it's like someone wrote it
unmotivated
and someone sung it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the time, the artists, like, it comes from a place. There's a reason. There's inspiration that makes them write it. And, like, if you listen to a lot of aggressive metal, a lot of it's about, like, love and heartbreak. It's like, it's not like, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's Satan and there's, like, all of the crazy
sure
stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of weird, when you hear it, you're like, wait a minute, is he talking about being heart, this, he's talking about heartbreak?
Oh, yeah.
Or being sad because he lost a lover or something?
Mm-hmm.
So there's all of this stuff, and it's like the same thing with what's the fucking guy's name? He unfortunately committed suicide. He was the rap rock band from the 90s.
Oh, Chester.
Linkin Park, yeah, Chester. Once you...
Oh,
once
my God.
You
when
go back and
died,
listen to the music, you're like...
All these red flags, and nobody fucking was paying attention?
Because it seemed like he was just singing...
Like, he needs to be on watch.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
It seemed
so
like
sad.
He... was just making music for angsty young kids,
yes,
and in reality, he was...
Holy fuck,
yeah.
Yes, that was, like, the weirdest thing for me to, like, listen to it after he died, and I was just like, wow, he's just been crying out for help this whole time, and nobody's fucking listening.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Like, what happened? Holy shit. Yeah, that was wild. But you know where my mind went when you first said Black and Blue? I was like, oh shit, is it a song about someone getting beat up?
No.
They got bruises on them? I was like, wait a minute, I gotta listen to this. This is a kinky song.
But there's also, he's got some, like, he was a great lyricist.
I'm a big fan of Louis.
I don't know that it was his song. I think it was Mac the Knife.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he originally wrote it, because I feel like I heard someone else sing it before him.
Mm-hmm.
But Mac the Knife is a cool ass song.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen, it's the same thing. He's talking about having basically what's that funny thing? The mafia. You're gonna go swimming with the fishes.
Because
it talks about how he comes in, he does the dirt, and then he puts lead shoes on you and jumps you in the fucking river.
Mm-hmm.
And he romanticizes the way, I forget the exact words that he says, but basically And something, something, and it bubbles in a pool of red. And I'm like, holy fuck. And he's talking about someone laying on the floor bleeding out. So it was like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the shit.
It's fucking dark. It's darker than you think.
Because I love music. And I think that's like, there's so... You hear people, you know, like, oh, I don't watch TV, or I don't read, or I don't do this. Even my grandmother, who refused to watch TV, she didn't watch TV, she never learned to drive. She read the newspaper, and she read it from front to back, but it was not in order. So she had this part, and then she'd go read this part, and then she'd do this, and then she'd... And eventually she would read every single word in the newspaper. She had the newspaper every day.
Wow.
And she would read the entire thing, and but she... My grandfather would watch TV. He loved watching TV. And when we'd go to visit, you'd come down in the summer in the mornings, and it's dark because we're up so early. And you come down, and this is early 80s, and there's that fucking Jane Fonda yoga, you know, jazzercise going on. And he's sitting there with his feet up and just a shit-eating grin from ear to ear.
Watching these girls
in the fucking tights doing their thing. And I didn't get it until I got older, and I was like, you dirty little fucker. He was an awesome guy, but it was weird that they were so different. But the grandmother who would refuse to watch, the only time she would watch TV is when she'd come in and she'd call him. She's like, it's time for dinner, blah, blah, blah. And she'd stand there and kind of glance at it and then walk away. But she loved music.
Yeah.
And the music, I feel like, is the one thing that connects so many people. And there's so many genres of it. I don't know. I'm a huge music fan.
Oh, same. I think that music is, like, so helpful and therapeutic in so many different ways. Like, I don't want to think about a world without music. It's helpful.
I had a buddy of mine that's kind of prepper-ish. I feel like everyone to a certain degree has a little bit of it in them. But I made a comment one time about, like, you know, if shit hit the fan and there was a reset on the world. And there's theorists about this to where the, you know, there was actually a TV show at one point about it where the electricity just got shut off.
Oh.
There's no internet, there's no electricity, and there's no turning it back on, like it's gone. So you basically get set back hundreds of years. And of course people colonize and they fight and there's wars and there people are trying to take back over and everyone wants to be the ruler and there's all this crazy stuff going on. And all I kept thinking was, there's no music. Like, there's none. There's like, what did you hum? Or if someone has an instrument, but...
Yeah, instruments.
But it's like there's like, and I...
Oh, record player, right? There's wines?
If you could find one that was old enough and the record you wanted to listen to.
And the record.
And then you got to find somebody with the Popeye arm that sits there and does the cranking. So as I was telling him about this, we were sitting around shooting the shit one night, and I was saying, I was like, that's the one thing, like, if I'm set. I'd be okay with the reset. All of us would be freaked out, but we would all be able to manage, and it would take some time, but we would all reset, learn how to farm, learn how to fucking, to harvest your own food again. And then if you didn't have it, you went without, unless you found someone that did have it, and then you bartered with them and say, hey, you're not a good hunter, I am, or you're not a good, you can't grow a good garden, but I can, and you barter to get the things back, because it wasn't, there were only a few generations ago that there weren't grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
That there, you grew your own food, you harvest your own food, but you didn't eat, or you had someone that gave it for a service, and there was the bartering thing. So as we're talking about all that, one day I go to his house and we're shooting the shit. He's like, hold on, I got something for you. And he comes out and he's got this little solar panel that you can plug one USB into.
Oh.
And he was like, make sure you've always got your music on your phone. He was like, because you know that at that point everything was moving to a cloud. He was like, keep it downloaded. So if shit hits the fan, you can at least have your music. And I was like, I think I love you. Like, it was such a cool thing.
You're going to be fine. But then when
I charged it, it got really hot and started melting. So I was like, maybe I need to get a better. It was just one of, like, it was one of those, like, off of Wish or whatever.
That's cool.
But it was the heart. It was where his heart was. I thought it was super sweet.
Yeah, that it would be very quiet. I would have to make friends with musicians, like, immediately. Be like, can you just hang around and play music all the time, please?
I know. Like, I would go find where the food was, find my ammunition, find shelter, and then find a music store. And take, like, a harmonica or a drum or
something.
Maybe all of it.
Yeah.
You ever played a musical instrument?
No, I never. I mean, I tried to, like, learn piano and stuff when I was growing up because of, like, just to be able to, like, accompany myself for, like, auditions. But I never really wasn't. My instrument is my voice.
Do you sing?
Yeah, I grew up doing, like, musical theater and just, like, regular theater and stuff like that. So I always just kind of focused on that. But I kind of, I wish I would have. I wish my mom would have pushed me to do something like that that you have to physically show, you know? Right. Because I think that musicians are just absolutely fascinating. And the fact that you can, like, take this thing and take your body and, like, make these sounds is, like, so cool. So cool.
I was a drummer for 11 years. And I experimented with the guitar for a few years, and I was, like, the power chord king. Like, I could, you know, the two-finger thing. I was never super great. I could never wrap my head around, like, doing solos and being staying in the right key.
Oh, that's a lot of shit going on. Yeah.
And the thing that gets me is, and it, I mean, I'm not taking away from drummers, because, I mean, I've had the double bass and the hands, so feet and hands are doing stuff. I mean, it's a thing, lot. Too. But you've got this person who's all of these keys and the timing, and the timing's hard enough as it is. And you, I feel like people
space.
Are.
It's like some little tiny space. Yeah, they're
doing like this. And then you've got the people who do that and then sing.
I know. It just blows my mind. Yeah. But you know what I do? I always love watching the drummer when they're playing something live because they make the best faces. They're so horrible. Focused. It's hilarious. I'm like, he's so in it. And he's just like, blah, blah. I'm like,
Yeah. And that or when a guitarist does a solo. Guitar solos
They start
and drummers.
Making weird posture. Yeah. I'm like,
they're just like,
oh. It's like they feel it. Totally. I do too. I can feel it through them. It's, I don't know. Maybe it's because I can't actually play an instrument myself that I'm, like, so fascinated by, like, what I don't know. But I can always listen to live music. Like, it just
and it doesn't have
in
to
a
be
happy
music.
Place.
It does, yeah, it doesn't even have to be music that I necessarily... And it's hard to find kind of music that I don't listen to. Because, like, on my... So I have XM in my car. And you have the three programmed, like, in on the little screen so you can see the three channels. And it's 80s. Because 80s, you can go back to the 50s or whatever, and you can go up through the 90s and 200 pop stuff.
Oh, that's smart.
So I kind of find, but 80s is a good starting point. Plus, I was raised in the 80s. The next one over is Shade 45, which is a hip hop station.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the one that Eminem has. But you go left, and it's Hip Hop Nation, and then it's LL Cool J's old school hip hop. But if you go to the right, it's The Heat, which is like modern R&B and hip hop. And then the next one over is, I think, Fly, which is like 90s and 2000 hip hop. I love hip hop.
Yeah.
But then to the right of that, so that's the 80s. Then there's the Shade, or Shade 45. Then there's Bluegrass. And the Bluegrass, you can move through the country and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's Turbo, I think, which is like the 90s, 2000 metal. Not metal, like, oh, but like...
I'm going to explore more of my series.
It's got like Korn and System of a Down and good Tool. Shit. So it's good stuff, yeah. And then next to that is Chill, which is techno chill.
Chill, EDM, yes, I love those.
And then the final one on the bottom is The Joint, which is reggae.
So good.
I've got it. So it's I'm consistent, and I just go all over the place. I love this stuff.
The only thing you're missing is the comedy channels. I have one preset for there's like a Raw Dog comedy, which is like the really raunchy shit. And then there's like they have a Comedy Central. I think Kevin Hart has one too. But I like to flip between those because I'm a big fan of like stand up and stuff.
I am too. The wife hates it. She was like, I don't get it. Because I hear my problem is I will laugh. And if something's funny to me and I'm childish, so like farting will still make I will cry.
Bathroom and humor. It's funny.
When I say I cry, like I'm not the type, I'm not talking like, ha ha ha, that's so funny. Like I can't breathe and I have to get up and I have to remove myself from the situation. Because if I pause the TV and go away, I'm like, okay, I can breathe, and I'm wiping my tears, and I look at the frozen picture, I see, and it instantly takes me back to where I was, and I can't. So there's times I've had to stop a special and walk away for days because I can't stop laughing.
Oh, my God.
But so since she hates it, it's kind of those are the things.
Are you a fan of Tom Segura? He's on Joe Rogan's podcast sometimes.
Who is he?
He's like... He's Spanish, or
Is he a comedian?
Yes, he's a comedian. Okay. Sorry. He's a comedian. He's like friends with Bert Kreischer and all those guys that they have on there.
Is he one of the Sober October guys?
Yes.
Okay.
You should totally check out some of his specials because I am like dying on some of the topics he covers are fucking so funny.
Have you seen the new Chappelle special?
Yes.
I haven't watched it yet. Like, I think I need to make the time to go do it because I've loved him.
You're gonna have to watch it more than once because there's gonna be things you're gonna miss the first time, and it's so funny.
I think he's hilarious, and it's, I know, nonstop. When he, not this one, but the one before it, where he made a comeback. Because mm-hmm. remember, he was like, "Fuck all this shit. I'm sick of you, sensitive bitches." And I agree. Mm-hmm. But he came back and he's like, and he's kind of making fun of it, and he catches, and people were like, he was like, I came back, and he's like, and I'm already back and realizing you bitches are still sensitive. Mm-hmm. And he went into a few different things and people started talking and he's like, shut the fuck up! And he gets so mad at him.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they did this special, everyone's like, you know, he came out swinging and he's mm-hmm. like, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make fun of who I want.
Oh, he gets everyone. And it's dark, but it's fucking funny. Like, there's some topics where you're like, oh, but you're totally right.
And there's, like, I don't know if she even still around. Did you ever watch any of or listen to any of Lisa Lampanelli?
Oh, yeah. I love that bitch. She's fucking funny.
But she's the same way. Mm-hmm. She was like, bring me the gay, every person of color, all the straight, all the white. I don't give a fuck because you're all in trouble.
He has a whole segment about the alphabet people. It's just, please go watch it tonight. So funny.
Because I love him. Because he funny. Because when he had the Chappelle show and he did the white family with the name that white people aren't supposed to say. And then he was the blind leader of the Klan.
Oh my God, the black racist, or what did they call him? What was it? I don't remember what they called him, but yeah, he didn't know he was black.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was the funniest shit.
And then he divorced his wife for being a. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God.
Ridiculous.
Because he stood his ground as still being a white supremacist, mm-hmm. even though he was black. Mm-hmm. There were, and like I tell you guys, research this. I can't guarantee it, but there's, there were rumors back in the day when this was going on, because you didn't go on the internet and Google things mm-mm. as much back then, mm-mm. but that supposedly some of the biggest leaders in the black community, like Jesse Jackson level people, were like, you got to stop this shit. And he's like, fuck you.
Good.
Like, he stood his ground and was like, fuck you motherfuckers. Yeah. And they're like, you're taking us backwards in this thing, because they do with the white family with the N-word name. Mm-hmm. He did every goddamn stereotype he could think of.
Yeah.
Every one of them. And they were like, you're taking us back. And he was like, fuck you. And I'm not. Because and that's what I think I liked about him so much, is he stood his ground no matter what. Mm-hmm. Kiss my ass. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it my way, or I'm not going to do it at all.
Yeah. That's how it should be. And besides, like, making these jokes and getting people to, like, ease up about it, it's helping it not be a problem anymore, I would think, you know? Right. Like, if racism is, like, if, I don't know how to phrase it, but, like, if it wasn't it wouldn't be a problem if, like, there just wasn't that, what is racism? Like, who fucking even made up that shit? Like,
well, that's a big, deep thing. But
it's so weird.
But, like, comedy, and a lot of people that don't, and I forget who said this. I think but basically what comedy is, who cares who said it, it's because I don't care, but they said that all comedy is tragedy with a little time. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. There's, because if you, I mean, fuck, how many times have you been hanging out with anybody, family member, mom, best friend, and they slip and bust their ass? Oh, you laugh like fuck, and you know they're hurt, and you look at them and they're crying, and you're like,
it's impossible. I'm so,
and it's funny, and it sucks. Being a parent's even worse, because
oh my God.
Your kid's like, why is that funny?
There's a whole Instagram account dedicated to that. It's called Kids Getting Hurt, and it's hilarious. I don't have any kids, so maybe it's wrong for me to watch it, but it is so funny. It's not, if you ever need to pick me up.
My wife used to send me videos of him having full meltdowns in, like, Target.
Oh, no.
Because she thought, because she was a stay-at-home mom, so she thought it was funny as fuck. And I'm, like, at work, I'm like, don't send this to me. And
then my God.
Once I was around it enough, I'm like, it's kind of funny. Because they melt over the dumbest shit. Uh-huh. But, so yeah, that's the point, is that that's all funny is something really horrible happening and making fun. And that's why there's the hashtag too soon. Mm. And there's sometimes, because I know people that I'm abrasive. Mm-hmm. I know people that make me seem like a fucking, like a marshmallow cloud. I'm so, like, because they are just like horrible shit, to where I'm like, I don't know if I can be friends with you anymore because that, like, it's bad because it's way too soon and it maybe is forever is too soon. But then again, there's probably people watching this that are like, you know, there's certain subjects you should never be funny about. And I say, well, you know what? Then fucking don't watch my.
Yeah, like
I can do what I want, just like you can do what you want, and everybody can. You could do your own thing. But you can't be mad at someone else because they laughed at something that was innocent. And comedians never are malicious. Because malicious is hate. Comedians are just being funny. And people are just, they're fucking sensitive.
And also, like, most of the time when something is funny, it's because it's half true. Or fully true. You know? You know who else is fucking really, really, like, cutthroat is Anthony Jeselnik. Some of his material is like
that name sounds familiar.
I'm sure you've seen him before, but like his humor is like so it's like dark, like abortions and fucking like just 9/11 jokes. Like it's really bad. Like
I think I've heard about him watching Joe Rogan stuff because I think that specifically
he's been on his podcast before.
When that because he's the one that does the 9/11 jokes and everybody's like, "What the fuck?" And he was like, "Fuck you," and does them anyway.
Literally, but it's like you know, whenever people put these boundaries on things, me personally, it just makes me want to do it more. You know,
it's a mentality that when you're told no, well, fuck you, watch this.
100%. Hold my beer. It's like why? It's like with prohibition and everything. It's like they're just they're like forcing people to get sneaky about it because it's like it's gonna happen no matter what.
Right.
Like you might as well just accept that shit and roll with it.
Right. It's the thing is I feel like it's the psychology of it's the same thing as when as a kid you're like I dare you. Well fuck now I gotta do it. Mm-hmm. They dared me. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing when they're like whatever you do don't touch that. You know what I'm saying? You're like, okay.
Look at him. He's so cute.
This is my new obsession.
He's adorable.
I went in and saw this. Well, I didn't see it. My kid saw it in the store. And he's like, Daddy. And we've never been around these. And he was like, Daddy, I want to get this. I'm like, get the fuck away from me. Wait a minute. Let me see that. And I was like, and I've seen him forever. And like, who cares? But I was like, oh, I like the Pennywise.
Mm-hmm.
Even the modern one.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, fuck. So I went on my Amazon.
Oh, no.
And I have like fucking 15 of them on my wish list.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
Because then I was like, if anybody's interested, I have a new obsession. And I have a certain.
What are they called? Pop
something, yeah.
Pop it or something like that. Yeah, I've got a few Disney ones.
We both know Phoenix Marie. She, I think, if I remember correctly, she's got one of the biggest collections. Like, she's got an entire room dedicated to these little fuckers.
Wow.
I'm like, give me the monsters. Like, I want the Frankensteins and the Freddy Kruegers and the Jasons. And I got, like, two different Jasons on there, like the Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, I didn't know they did all of those.
They did all, like, the old school original vampire or original monsters. So there's the creature from the Blue Lagoon.
Uh-huh.
Black Lagoon? Blue Lagoon.
Uh-huh.
There's the Wolfman. There's the Phantom of the Opera. There's Dracula.
Is there a Blob one?
I don't think I saw a Blob one.
They need a Blob one. We need a Blob one. Come on. True. He's an OG monster.
That's very true. There's they did have the cool thing is they've got a Jason Voorhees that's got the mask on. And they've got several like there's two or three versions of him. There's two or three versions of each one, like depending on what their hands are doing. But then they have one of Jason Voorhees where he's wearing overalls and a bag over his head with one eye cut out. And I'm like, fuck, that's going to be my prize.
Whoa.
But I'm not going to do, and they're expensive because they're collector, but mine are going to sit out like this. I'm not going to put them because I'm like, what's the point in having them if you're not going to enjoy them?
Right? Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't want a bunch of clear boxes sitting here.
And I kind of wish that they would just make the boxes look a little more appealing. Like, if they are hoping that people will keep them in them, like, why not make it just like, totally clear, like less labels or something, you know, just to make it more of a display case. Because, I mean, but he looks great there.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, we're gonna get you out of here soon, but
there's a hidden Mickey in his hair. That's another thing I'm obsessed with is finding hidden Mickeys.
What's a hidden Mickey?
Well, there's a few different kinds. There's like either three circles with one big one for the head and then two small ones for the ears.
Okay.
That's like a classic Mickey.
Gotcha.
There's also one where it's like his profile of him standing, his whole body. And then there's like a side view of it where I feel like it looks, I mean, it technically it's supposed to be smaller. The ears are supposed to be smaller, but Now I just can't not see them everywhere. Whenever yeah, I see three them. Circles, I'm like, oh, there's a hidden Mickey. But they are everywhere.
Now I'm going to be obsessed and I'm going to find them.
Okay, if you want to hear obsession. So there's one of the things when you go to stay at the Disneyland Resort, they've got, and there's a few different buildings that are named after the parks, like Adventureland, Fantasyland, etc. So the one that we stayed in was Frontierland. And they have a model in the lobby of, like, the land. And so I'm looking at the model, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if they have the hidden Mickeys in here. And they do. The ones that are, like, on the ride that you see on Big Thunder are in the model. And it just blew my fucking brains out. I was like, wow, this That's is crazy. Attention to detail. Like, they are above and beyond. And then I just
can stop smiling. Now I'm going to look for those things.
They're everywhere.
And I'm going to see them, too.
There's an app. There's an app for it.
So you can find them?
No, I have not even close to finding all of them. There's so many. There's like, I don't even know, thousands probably. And there's new ones happening all the time. And there's some that I'll never find because those parts of the park have been closed or refurbished and stuff. So I'm like, it'll never be over.
You know something else is fucked up too? Speaking of, like, now that you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
You can't.
Have you ever seen the ones with advertising? With the signs, like, have you ever seen the arrow in FedEx?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever noticed that in 7-Eleven that the last N is lowercase where everything else is uppercase?
No.
Google, go look at, like, weird advertising things, and there's, like, a fucking laundry list of these weird advertising, like, the lowercase N or the arrow, and once you see it, once you see it, you're like, fuck, and you can't. Every time I look at FedEx, I'm like, there's the arrow, and then you have to, like, refocus and go, oh, there's the letters around it.
You want something to fuck you up?
Yeah.
Google or look up Tom Cruise middle tooth. And you'll never be able to see him the same ever again. But there's just one middle tooth in there.
Tom Cruise middle tooth.
There's just one in the middle. It fucked me up for life. I'm like, wow, I'll never see him the same. So true.
That's interesting.
Oh my God.
So there's Easter eggs for you guys.
Yeah.
Alrighty, let's get to, because as much as I love doing this, we got to wrap this up because you got to get out of here.
Yeah, wow.
It goes by quick, right?
It does.
So this is the part where I like to ask girls for advice, not for me, but for, like, if there's someone coming into the industry, boy or girl, if you had any advice to give to someone new, whatever it would be, what would you say?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind would probably be taking care of your body, like your health, your physical health. Mental health, too, is definitely, like, super duper important. I think the idea of making the money in such a short time and, you know, maybe gaining some sort of, like, fame, it's all super enticing, but I don't know if people realize the kind of mental come down, maybe. I don't know if this is the right word, but for instance, like, when you do these kink scenes, there's, like, you have all your endorphins and everything's popping and running, and then you kind of, like, have this crash of everything coming down. Right. And I feel like that kind of happens almost every time, obviously not to the extent of when I do one of these kinds of scenes, but it kind of happens every time because there's all this energy and things are happening on set and everything's being filmed and coming together, and then afterwards you kind of have this drop. So I think it's super important to have, like, someone to talk to or a partner or somebody to just, like, you know, maybe you don't talk about what you did that day or whatever, but just have, like, some kind of support system to talk about things, because I think it can be really mentally straining on people to be like, wow, I just, like, got fucked or whatever for, like, and everyone's gonna see it. Or I mean, I don't really know, because I don't personally deal with the mental, like, problem, but I know so many people do, and it's, like, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around it. But I think having, like, somebody just to, like, I don't know, like, get a hug from or something after, it really, it makes a big difference.
I think people correlate sex, to interrupt you, I think people correlate sex with affection, because it is. It's very, but when you can hear it, becomes very cold and sterile. And
it's very, like,
and I get this even as a dominant. Like, I get to where, we started doing a series at Kink that was a school of submission, and it's four days with me, and it's as intense and as deep as I can. It's basically it's kind of like a playoff of when I used to run the Training of Bo. So I took the best parts of the entire run of Training of Bo and took what I liked most, but there's never this level of, okay, well, now you're going to go to the upper floor and be a slave. It was, and I pitched it to Kink as the journey of the slave or journey of the submissive. So it's, you come in, we figure out what makes you tick, what makes you don't, and kind of, basically it's like a military thing. Like I come in and I dissect you.
Yeah.
And then I break you down and make you feel like you're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I analyze you for 2 days, with one with me, and then I bring in a guy and we do sex and bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, you can't win for losing kind of thing. And I kind of break you down, and then day three is where I destroy you. I put you in situations where you cannot win no matter what. And it's hard physical labor.
It's so frustrating.
But then on day four, no matter what, I put you in the most intense bondage and intense situations.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you last for 30 seconds, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a break you down to build you up situation. I'm trying to remember why I brought that up now.
There's the maybe like the mental support of going through that process.
So there's the once you, and the girls, they go home and I'm like, take your phone, and I show them, I set their phones up so they can do it, and then they record this, the reflection.
So once you've come down
and once you've had the shower and you're just by yourself and you're with just you, you're like, when you need that hug or you want that person to talk to, and then they would do these reflections, and that's become the thing that people seem to enjoy the most.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing, when the 4 days are over and Becky laughs at me about it, she was like, and she tells the girl, she was like, you should see him. He's like a little puppy. He doesn't know what to do with it. Because I'm the same way. Because I've invested all everything, every ounce of energy, like even when we're not on camera, I'm analyzing what happened that day. I'm thinking about what we can do the next day. I'm trying to, so I'm focused for 4 days solid on this one individual. And when it's over with, I'm like, where'd they go?
Now what?
Where's my friend? Like you, and I get the same. So I get there's that when you put, and I don't know about a single day thing. Like I always feel that there's a connection to a certain degree because it's intimate what we do, because there's not a cock inside of a hole.
For sure.
But there's the level of doing like 4 days is that's a lot, and you get to where you're like, why'd they leave? Like I thought, and you can't help. So I kind of understand people who would have that, like, but we had sex. Why are they? What, they just go home and we don't talk anymore. So I kind of get it.
Yeah. To me, I've kind of approached it in a different way where I'm like, oh, cool. I get to like meet up with this stranger, and we're gonna have sex, and then like that's it. And then I don't have to deal with them anymore. Sometimes I do. I do want to deal with them. But it's really funny you said that because I mean, I know, God, I mean, like, how many girls have gone through Training of Bo? Like, there's been so many.
Right.
And I'll forever feel, like, after spending those 4 days with James, that we've, like, got this, like, bond. And it's so weird because it's, like, it's...
Because he's an intense motherfucker, too.
It's so weird, but it's like I'll forever feel this, like, connection to him. And it's not, like, it's not sexual, and it's, I guess it's, like, friendship-y. I don't really know how to put my finger on it, but it's all, like, going through those 4 days and then, like, going to bed and, like, being exhausted and then going back the next day. And it was this, like, weird process of, like, once it was over, I was like, well, now what do I do?
Where's James?
What do I do now?
Maybe I can get his number and call him
and
sometime.
It's so weird, though, because it's like, I know that this has happened, like, 100 other times before me. There's been so many other girls, and it's just, it's so odd that how the brain works.
But it's the same thing, like, with the military.
Mm-hmm.
Because the loyalty that they develop going through basic training to where they're done the same way. They're torn apart and built back up the way they want them built. So as much as this drill sergeant and my brother, I've got family that went through the military. I didn't. I respect the fuck out of them for doing it because I couldn't put up with someone yelling at me like that. So
not
hats
without
off to
orgasms,
all of you.
Promise later.
There you go.
That's a fine compromise.
But you know, there's this loyalty and this, and they like fucking die for it.
Die hard for the brotherhood
and for the country and for because they aren't brainwashed, but they went in and committed to doing a thing, and when you commit, you're all or nothing. Mm-hmm. Just like with the training. And obviously we're in a sexual level where, and not to dismiss the military.
Mm-mm.
But I think it's kind of the same thing. It's like I guarantee you, and I'll ask him next time I talk to him so I can bring this up later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll ask my brother next time I see him, and I guarantee you he can tell you the drill sergeant. He can tell you any commanding officer he probably had through his entire career in the military. I mm-hmm. bet you, because of the same...
And having to say their names over and over right. again when you respond.
Well, it's repetition, yeah. That's totally. How you learn.
Retrain them. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, sorry, I cut you off. You said, was there something else you were going
to
add?
Well, no, it was obviously having the mental health, I think, is really important to balance out. And then the physical health aspect, because when I joined the industry, I mean, I thought I knew, like, how my body was working, but I really learned a whole lot about it that I never did know. And, just like really taking care of yourself, you know, because you have to remember you're going to work with other people, and you want to, you know, smell nice and be clean. And I don't know, it's strange to say this now, because it's like, I don't feel like I put that much effort into it when I first was in the industry. I was like, this is me, this is how I am. But now I'm like, oh, I want to make sure, like, I'm underneath my fingernails clean. Like, I make sure, like, my teeth are clean, like, everything, just so that I know that, like, my scene partner is as most comfortable as possible. Because
right.
for some people, excluding myself, it can be really weird to just, like, meet someone and then, like, have sex with them. And
right.
someone's filming it, and then they're like, all right, now do this and switch this and now take cum on your face. And I think that the physical health, like, you know, if you feel like something's wrong, like, ask somebody, you know. There's a lot of girls and guys that are really, like, open and willing to give advice. And, you know, like, does this smell weird? Like, is this normal?
Right.
Like, should I be pissing blood? Like, no, like, you should, and to not ignore your body. Like,
right.
that is, you know, your body's always going to tell you something for a reason. And there's something going on. So you got to listen to it. And,
right.
and I think that's, you know, the main thing is you just gotta take care of yourself, because you can get, I mean, I had sex with a lot of people before porn, but I never felt like I had so many, like, health issues for whatever reason. And I think it's because I'm exposed to so many different people
right.
so often. I felt like I had a lot of sex back then, but it was like one or two people consistently.
Right.
And now it's like, I mean, if you're really working, you could have sex with 5 to 7. I mean, if you're doing a gangbang, you could have sex with like 30 people in a week.
Right.
So you gotta take into consideration all the different, like, people's germs and stuff, you know, and like, you just, you know, shower and
your own pH.
Yeah. And I think the main thing is, yeah, just to try and really take care of yourself, like, mentally and physically, and not be afraid to ask. Like, I will never be offended if some girl is like, oh, or some guy, you know, like, what is this, or do you think, or reach out. Don't be afraid to say no. Don't be afraid to ask.
Right.
Reach out for advice, because we are a wealth of knowledge, and I've learned so much about myself in this industry because of other people. And yeah, I was really, really thankful for my experience in the industry. I feel like I've grown so much and just learned a lot about my body and what I like and dislike. And yeah, and welcome to the industry. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Hold on tight.
I've actually had, I had one guy, and because you shoot this and you're around, because we're around naked people, we're around mm-hmm. bodies and sex and things that are very personal or private for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of, you can't be, like you were talking about earlier with some of your partners before sex, like, that's gay, I don't want to be around another guy. You, that's got to kind of go away.
Absolutely.
And I've had a performer, or maybe two, I know one for sure, who came up to me, he's like, JP, can I talk to you for a minute? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, over here. And I was like, yeah, sure, dude. And we walk away from set,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, can you look at this? And he pulls his pants down. And he trusts my opinion, mm-hmm. so I'm not a doctor, but I am also, after 15 plus years of being in the industry.
You've seen some shit.
So what do? I get down on my knees and inspect his junk. And I know I'm not putting my hands all over
sure.
it.
Sure.
But I did. I looked at him. I was like, do you show me what you're talking about? Because mm-hmm. I don't want to just start plundering around mm-hmm. your penis.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, this right here. And he pulled his junk to the side, and it was a very itty bitty ingrown hair, but he was like, oh, what do you? And I said, this is what it looks like. And I asked mm-hmm. him, blah blah blah. And we did what I know about things,
mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, it's only this, this, and this. I was like, that sounds like an ingrown hair. And yeah. if he wouldn't have pointed it out, I wouldn't have seen it. And I don't mm-hmm. think the close-up would have ever caught it.
Right.
But he was aware of it. But it was, again, it was one of, like you said, it's one of those things that we, it's better to ask and absolutely. To talk to someone who does this all the time.
You might as well. I mean, right. what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to, whatever, not do the scene and go, hopefully, go get treated, you know, and, right. and get it taken care of. But, I mean, I wish there were more people like that that would not be embarrassed or, you know, shy to just be like, hey, is this okay? Is this normal?
Which is weird because you're getting naked and fucking on camera. Why are you
so weird, right?
Right. I mean, I'm not shy when it comes to that because of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But like in regular life, I'm shy. So it's weird. I don't know.
You know what? I have a very similar experience with being in the industry. It's for whatever reason, the more open that I have been, it does make me feel a little more like, oh, I need to be more reserved now.
Yeah, let me and button like, this up.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
Bit.
It's so funny though, because it's like you would feel like you'd just be more and more liberated, but I don't know.
Maybe it's because we put so much out on camera. That
uh-huh.
we, there's the
yeah.
All right, maybe I should hone it in a little more.
That's also why I like Disneyland, is because it's just so like it's so wholesome and it's not sexual. It's like a very very opposite kind of vibe to what right. my majority of my lifestyle is. So.
And you don't nice. Go in there because, I mean, and not porn people because mm-hmm. I know, and there's several girls that I know. I don't think I know any guys, but there's several girls who are very Disney-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, like, they have their poses that they do on porn, but they don't do that when they're hanging out. Like, it's...
I don't know. I don't really like people to make sexual jokes either when we're at Disneyland.
It's not appropriate.
I don't feel that it is. I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes you gotta say something or whatever and you're right. in a mood. But for the most part, I like things to stay really wholesome and it's, yeah, it's weird.
I think it's like we were talking about earlier. I think it's the nostalgia. I think it's
yeah.
the, that was pure.
Yeah, it's innocent.
Yeah, so I don't, no, you don't mm-hmm. get to do that to now.
Yeah,
which is funny because you and your best friend mm-hmm. are pretty dirty girls.
And I so know, it's to... so funny, because we'll be, like, yapping at our boyfriends, we'll say something, and we're like, oh, don't say that, we're at
You're
Disney.
Being nasty.
Don't be a dirty man like that. We're at Disney right now. Just save it for later.
Yeah, wait till we get to the hotel.
Right?
So that's
then
technically
anything
not.
Goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's different.
Then we'll bring it out. Alrighty. Like I said, I hate to rush, but we got to get you out of here.
No worries.
You were awesome.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure.
When social media comes out, I'll let you know. I'll hit it all over the place.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. See ya.
Bye, guys. Mwah. Packs out.
I love it. All right.
Fun.